You're listening to Red Eye on Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO 100.5 FM.
A prominent academic has said, "There's no question that there's an orchestrated campaign at the federal level to make sure that their scientists can't communicate to the public about what they do." The Information Commissioner of Canada has now been asked to probe the Harper government's efforts to prevent media and the public from obtaining information from federal scientists. The investigation request to Suzanne Legault was made by the University of Victoria's Environmental Law Clinic and the nonprofit Democracy Watch, which say policies designed to prevent scientists from speaking freely are undermining democracy. The Environmental Law Center included their report called "Muzzling Civil Servants, a Threat to Democracy" with its request to the Information Commissioner. Tyler Summers of Democracy Watch joins me now from Ottawa. Hello, Tyler.
Hello.
What does what you're calling the muzzling of scientists look like? Give me some examples.
Sure. There are a number of examples, but essentially what's happening is that in several federal government departments, we highlight Environment Canada, the Department of Fisheries and Oceans, Natural Resources Canada, the National Research Council, and a couple of others. There are policies that have changed the relationship between journalists and scientists. So where once journalists were able to call and speak to scientists about their scientific research without much delay, or without any need for them to the scientists to seek approval, now scientists have to go to their supervisor, to a communications officer, or even to the minister's office to get permission to speak to journalists before they do so. And sometimes it's not just overall permission. It can be permission and pre-reading of the very specific lines that they're going to send a journalist in response to their questions.
How does that look on the ground when the media are trying to contact scientists? Can you give me an example of how that might play out?
Of course. So what tends to be the case is that scientists are delayed so long that they miss the deadlines that journalists have, and this can cause a number of issues. There was a scientist, Christy Miller, who wrote about stock-eye salmon, and she produced some very interesting research, and it was politically sensitive at the time, and she was prevented by the Privy Council Office for months from speaking to journalists. And she said it was incredibly frustrating for her because she wasn't able to clarify certain pieces of what she wrote, and she saw some journalists went in a direction that she didn't agree with. There have also been a couple of international conferences where the departments have interfered with the ability of scientists to speak to journalists. For example, the International Polar Year Conference in 2012, scientists were told that if they were approached by a journalist, they were to ask them for their business card and get back to them with a time for an interview. They would then have to go to the media relations team, schedule an interview, and the media relations team would follow them and attend the interview with them. And not only that, there were media relations people sent to the conference to record and follow Canadian scientists, to record their conversations. There was also another international conference where scientists were given what's called a Q&A package. Politically, we call this talking points. So they were presented with with 20 questions that they had expected would come up, and with the appropriate answers for each question. And they were told if they were asked about certain topics to say, "I'm a scientist, I'm not in a position to answer that question, but I would be happy to refer you to the appropriate spokesperson." So it's not just isolated to Canadian journalists speaking with scientists privately. This is playing out in international conferences, and it's not good for our overall reputation, and it has been causing some issues with joint projects with the United States.
I think most people would be extremely surprised to find that level of interference, and in fact, this sort of, it almost sounds like a surveillance of scientists when they're communicating their research.
It is basically surveillance, and the reason we think this is going on is because the Conservative government really wants to control information that gets out about it. They want to ensure at the very least that they know what scientists are going to say before they say it, in case there's anything politically sensitive. But the way it's playing out, and the way that it looks to us and what we reported on, is that the government isn't just trying to know what scientists are going to say. They're delaying scientists in order to prevent information from being consumed by the masses.
Does this policy that they've put forth, or this sort of set of media communication protocols for scientists, how does it compare to what was in place in the past before the Harper government?
So all past governments, it's not like this is a completely new policy. All governments have had some sort of communications policy which attempts to either give them, at least give them a heads up as to what scientists and other public servants are going to be saying. And there are some laws in this area where public servants aren't allowed to give personal opinions on different policies. But the rules around fact-based scientific research that taxpayers have paid for, they haven't been nearly as stringent as they are now. And we strongly believe that because this isn't policy, this isn't opinion, this is scientific research grounded in fact, there should not be any rules preventing these scientists from speaking to the public. And that's what we're seeing in the U.S. Under George Bush, there were a lot of rules and regulations that attempted to stop scientists from speaking to the public. But now under Obama's administration, not only are scientists allowed to speak to the public, they're allowed to reach out to journalists and to try to create stories about the research that they've done. And that's the direction we should be going in. We are going in the wrong direction right now. So around scientific research, it used to be more open. There were some limited regulations, but now it's really a clampdown, and they're trying to create tight control over what information gets out and when it gets out.
Why is it so important for the public to have access to scientific information produced by government scientists?
Well, there's a couple of things. It's important to have access to this, and it's important to have access, have as many Canadians as possible have access to this information in a way that's understandable. Because one response that the government has issued was a lot of this information is coming out. For example, some of these scientists are being published in Nature magazine or in other peer-reviewed journals. And that's true, but those are hundreds of pages of incredibly complex and difficult to comprehend research. So we need to ensure that Canadians are getting this in a way they can understand, and that's primarily through the media. And it's important for Canadians to get this information because we need it in order to make decisions, very, very important and critical decisions in our day-to-day lives. They can be as simple as trivial day-to-day decisions, or they can be as important as making a decision about who to vote for. If we want politicians to actually represent us and to do what we want, we actually have to know what policies we want them to follow, what policies we don't, and whether they're heading in the right direction or doing the right thing in regard to the world that we live in. And if we don't have this fact-based scientific research, we can't know what's going on around us, and we can't know what we want politicians to do or not do on our behalf.
If the report also suggests that we don't know what we don't know, that muzzling scientists prevents us from knowing what documents and research is available, talk about that.
Well, what we've done here is we've called for a full investigation by the Information Commissioner because we don't know how deep this problem is. We don't know whether through our research we've uncovered most of what's going on or whether we've only covered a very small part. So we're hoping that the Information Commissioner looks into this situation and determines whether or not this is isolated to these incidents or whether it's a much broader, more systemic issue. And we're hoping that she conducts that information as soon as possible. It's timely because right now the Information Commissioner is looking at our entire open government system to decide whether or not, or to make recommendations as to whether or not it's up to date with the times, which we believe it's not. And we hope that this factors heavily into her research and her ultimate recommendation as to what to do with Canada's open government laws.
What's your best hope for what the outcome will be?
Our best hope is that she will state very clearly that these communications policies, at the very least, violate the purpose or spirit of Canada's open government system. At the very beginning of Canada's Access to Information Act, it says that the purpose of this act and of Canada's open government system is to make information available to the public and to make any exemptions or exceptions limited and specific. As we've seen, this is not limited or specific. This applies to every government scientist that we've been able to uncover, and it doesn't matter what the research is. One example was of a scientist trying to talk to journalists about a flood that occurred in northern Canada 13,000 years ago. It had nothing to do with minerals, to do with global warming or anything, and yet they still had to jump through the hoops and were still only given approval after the journalist's deadline has passed. So So we're hoping the Information Commissioner fully investigates this and makes a very clear recommendation that these communications policies need to be changed and Canadians need to be given this access.
Well, thank you so much, Tyler.
Thanks for having me.
Okay, take care. I've been speaking with Tyler Summers from Democracy Watch. Democracy Watch and the Environmental Law Center at UVic have requested that the Information Commissioner of Canada investigate the federal government's practice of restricting the flow of information from federally employed scientists.
This podcast was produced by the Red Eye Collective in Vancouver, BC. If you live in the Vancouver area and are interested in creating alternative radio with us, we'd love to hear from you. Contact us at redeye@cooperadio.org.